Amen. And it's a simple song. That chorus says, I stand amazed at your glory. I stand amazed at your strength. I stand amazed at your power. That's all there is to that part. It ought to be pretty easy, and then amazing, so amazing. And I want you to lift your voice. If you sing unison or harmony, or you just grunt, just everybody do something. Let's see what the Holy Ghost will do right where you're standing and right where you're singing. Come on, singers, let's sing it. So amazing. I stand amazed at your glory. Come on, lift up your hand and sing it. I stand amazed at your strength. I stand amazed at your power. So amazing. Come on, sing that again. I stand amazed at your glory. Lift up your hand and sing it. I stand. I stand amazed at your power. So amazing. Oh, amazing again. Oh, I stand amazed at your glory. Oh, I stand amazed at your strength. I stand amazed. So amazing. Come on, take it higher. Oh, I stand amazed at your glory. Something happens when we sing to Him. Close your eyes and sing it as a prayer to Him of worship and thanksgiving. I stand amazed at your glory. Oh, I stand amazed at your strength. Oh, I stand amazed at your power. So amazing. Oh, amazing. Sing, oh, of Jesus' name. Come on, remember when you were baptized, somebody rejoice with it. So amazing. I stand amazed at your glory. Oh, I stand amazed at your strength, Lord. It's amazing. Sing a street. Somebody rejoice. Heaven's partying. Why don't we party a little bit? Lord, you're amazing. Oh, amazing. I stand amazed. Yes, I do. I stand amazed at your glory. Oh, I stand amazed at your strength. Yes, I do. I stand amazed at your glory. Sanctuary. Come on, everybody, lift your voice and sing. Oh, you are amazing, so amazing. Oh, amazing, so amazing. Oh, oh, amazing. Oh, of praise right now. Oh, we love you today, Jesus. We love you today, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Looks like this young man wants prayer. I want some young men to come gather around. We're going to let the Holy Ghost move right now. God's able today. Let's pray the prayer of faith. God, right now, in the name of Jesus, lift your voice and let's pray right now. God, whatever this need is, we take authority in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. You're our strength, you're our help, you're our trust, you, God. We trust you. Your strength. I stand amazed at your power. You're amazing. Yes, you are. I stand amazed at your glory. I stand amazed at your strength. I stand amazed at your power. Oh, amazing. So amazing. I stand amazed at your glory. It's amazing, so amazing. Oh, 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 amazing. Oh, 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 amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many feel the presence of the Lord here tonight? Amen. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them I want everything God's got for me tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody rejoice with this young man. He said it's gone. Whatever it is, it's gone in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want you to shake three people's hands. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord tonight. It's good to be at youth conference tonight. It's always great to be back in Birmingham with such good friends and family and people that mean a lot to me. Brother and Sister Sutton, Pastor Sutton, I love you. Good to see you. How many love the Sutton family? Always a privilege to be with them. They're heroes of mine and have meant so much to me as a young man, pouring their ministry into my life. I was telling somebody yesterday or earlier in the week before coming to Cali- where am I at? I'm in Alabama. Before coming to Alabama, somebody was asking me, they said, now he's out of your dad's church, right? And I said, yes. And they said, well, are you close to him? I said, yes. I said, there's probably not anybody besides my father that at the formative stage of my life and ministry, even before I recognized the call of God in my life, that put more into me than Pastor Barry Sutton. And I love him and respect him more than he even knows. And it's always good to see him. And it's good to be here with my friends, Brother Jeremy and Sister Vondelay Wilbanks. How many love the Wilbanks? Man. Brother Derek and Sister Mary Cheryl, I love them. Amen. And then I had forgotten until I got to town that some of the coolest people on the planet are here. Bob and Joanne Bertram, who are... For those of you that don't know it, that's Sister Vondelay Wilbanks' mom and dad, and they are some of the founding members of the church that I pastor. And they've been missing a little church, so I came all the way to Alabama to check up on them, make sure they're still living for God. Are y'all yet holding on? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to see them and all of my friends from Birmingham. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm a regular around here. Amen. I come at least twice a year now between Ignite and Youth Conference. I just feel like I'm one of you. Is that all right? And Tremaine, good to see you. That's our own little joke there. Amen. Well, what do y'all want to do? Y'all want to have church tonight? Are there any young people that feel like you need a word from the Lord? Amen. Amen. Keep playing. I like food's better with gravy. So is preaching. I need a little gravy back there. Amen. It's always good to see these anointed women of God of the Sutton clan and their husbands. I thank God for these leaders and all the leaders of this church. And I saw Sister Amber here somewhere. There she is. Our prayers are with her, getting ready to go back to Central America and take the world by storm. Proud of her. Amen. Cool things are happening. Amen. Well, I came with two sermons. So let's do this. I'm going to preach one of them. I've been known to preach two. My children think, Dad, you can be long-winded, but I'm going to preach one of these sermons, but I still don't have exact clarity. So would you pray? Let's pray that God would give me a word right now. My spirit's conflicted right now, and I want you to pray with me, amen, that God will make it clear which way we're to go in the next few moments. Lift your voice. I need young people to pray. I'm trying to feel after the Holy Ghost what God's wanting to do for you tonight. God, right now, anoint my mind, my heart, to be receptive, what you're going to do, what you want to do. Not my will, but your will be done. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Come on, pray. Pray out loud. Come on, the Holy Ghost is moving right now. Oh, give free, clear channel right now in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Amen. Maybe we'll get to preach that on Sunday. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Amen. I'm going to preach to young people tonight. Is that all right? That's what we're here for. Amen. Genesis, the third chapter. What I'm going to preach tonight, I didn't know if I'd ever preach again. I preached it to my home church about a year and a half ago. And just by chance, it was the notes to this sermon were in my backpack, and when I was taking out my Bible, these notes came out with it. And I for sure didn't think I would preach it tonight, but it was in my, I put it in my leather binder for some reason, and now I think I feel some clarity. Is that all right, just to follow the wind tonight? And I'm going to need, if I'm going to preach this, I'm going to preach it like I'm at home. I love young people because somebody loved me when I was a young person. And young people are battling things in unprecedented measure. And I know every generation has its struggles. But the Bible tells us that in the last days, wickedness would increase. And there is evil that is increasing. And so I will tell you, I dealt with temptations. I dealt with struggles. I dealt with evil. But I will tell you honestly, I believe that your generation is encountering evil in a measure that my generation, when I was 18 and 19, did not encounter. But the good news is that you are well able to take the land. You are well able. He's never put anybody in a place that they couldn't make it. Amen. So you're up to the challenge. But that just means you need to be wary, and you need to be sober, and you need to be prepared, and you need to take serious your walk with God. Man, this congregation looks good tonight. Looks good. Good crowd, good worship. Amen. I go a lot of places where they've got the praise down to an art, where they do it, and it's right. And it's almost programmed. But I appreciate young people that know how to respond and just flow with the Holy Ghost, whether it's baptizing someone or someone responding to the Spirit and you praising the Lord and praying through it. Amen. Do you have something left tonight? Can you receive something now from the Word of the Lord? Amen. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. You're familiar with this. But let's read it just to remind ourselves. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent then says to the woman, You'll surely not die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This is a story. We won't take the time to go into the rest of it. You know it well. This text is the story of failure. And this is the hook that he got her with that led to Adam. The Bible tells us who was not deceived. Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. Adam chose it because he had rather stay with Eve in a fallen state than be without her in perfection. That's a whole nother subject. But this is the story where the account where Eve is deceived. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight. I preached this in a series I did called iPod, YouTube, and We Play. iPod, YouTube, and We Play. Never thought I'd do it again, but here we are. I'm going to touch on some of that, but I'm going to focus on the I portion. The devil's going to come after you with what is pleasing to the eyes. And we need our eyes worked on. We need some help with our eyes. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. You may be seated. This is the account where the deceit led to the taste, which led to the fall. And it is here that this is a picture of counterfeit fulfillment. Creation begins with a spoken word. You remember how God said, "Let there be light." And when he speaks, things happen, and it continues for a number of days there. And then the counterfeit voice begins to speak, and Satan begins his kingdom. And he says unto the woman, and his word leads her to a look. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you listen to. You are in the iPod generation where everybody's listening to anything and everything. I get on the airplane and people sit down and put on earphones. I go to the store and I pass people who are listening while they shop. I pass people on the street who are standing at red lights with earphones on, and they are listening. And this caught my attention some time back, and I began to do some reading and some research, and there is great concern for the future of your generation because of what you are listening to. We are not sure what will be the long-term effects of being the iPod generation, where the ears are constantly being filled with hearing. There is the obvious, as already there are issues with the 20-something generation who are already suffering from hear loss. And they tell us that investment for the next 20 years will be in hearing aids. And already they're trying to figure out how eyeglasses have become a status or a fashion symbol, what brand you wear. They're trying to figure out how they can make ear pieces fashionable. Because they say 20 years from now, almost every one of you will be wearing them. Because of what you're already wearing now. What will be the long-term effects of constantly being filled with hearing? And then they are studying what is the effect of what is called the act of continuous partial attention. Continuous partial attention, where you are working while listening. And listening while working. And really you tell yourself you're multitasking, but there is no such thing as multitasking. Because even though you think you are giving full attention to your study while you're listening to whoever you're listening to, science is proving that your brain cannot function 100% at both. And so you are having what is called partial attention. Sociologists tell us that your generation is losing silence. And what will be the long-term effects of losing silence? At the very least, we will lose, they tell us, the capacity to attend to silence. And we will become trapped in continuous partial attention. It is called cocooning or podding, where these little devices and earbuds are being used. Listen, maybe you never thought of this. This is what is happening to your generation. To insulate the individual from people, from circumstances, and environment. You say, what do you mean by that? Oh, you've already learned the art of walking through acting like you're talking to somebody. Yeah. You've already learned this is a tool. I was with a group of people downtown Sacramento some time back, and one of the Sacramento Kings basketball players were there, and I watched as people were trying to approach him to get autograph, and I watched as suddenly as he saw him come, he grabbed his phone and he began to act like he was talking. There was nobody on the phone. He has learned the art of cocooning because of technology, and it's a real thing. And then we've learned to actually put earbuds in our ears so that we don't have to listen to what's going on around us. And we can be in the midst of a crowd, but yet insulate ourselves. Just go to Starbucks and you don't know anybody you're drinking coffee with. You go there to study and the world's moving by you with your earphones on and your computer, and you've got three screens open, and you're playing solitaire while you're supposed to be studying history. While you're listening to whoever. And so I pod myself against noise, but I also pod myself against silence. I pod myself against boredom, but the flip side is I also podded myself away from serenity. I podded myself against overstimulation, but I podded myself against discovery. I don't want to see the ugliness, so I iPod myself, but by shutting off ugliness, I also shut off compassion. Taking a trip with any teenagers lately? I have a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old. I'm getting old. My kids think my clothes are funny. My music's outdated. And Dad, you need some new glasses. So I got some, and I'm still not cool. But their friends ride in the car. But there's no conversation because everybody's got their earphones on. No longer is the family listening to the radio together, because now we got choices. And so daughter can be listening to her tunes, and son can be listening to his tunes, and daddy can be listening to the radio, and mama's got on her Bose silent system so she don't have to hear none of it. And so sociologists tell us we're losing the capacity of shared listening. We're a long way from gathering around the radio in the living room 50 years ago. But the downside of that is we didn't think about it, or our parents didn't think about it, is we learned a lot through shared listening. We learned to negotiate. Dad, I don't want to listen to that. Can we listen to this? And mama says, no, honey, let's listen to so-and-so. And we learned to work as a family together because we only had one radio and we had one Bonneville that was 60 feet long and turned like a boat. And we were going across country and the kids were laying in the top of the, y'all know, I remember sleeping naps above the seat. No seat belt, no airbags. It was like a tank anyway. Who would have died in that thing? Some of y'all don't know what you missed. What did we lose? We're living, they're telling us, in a world of continual partial attention. You got to be careful what you're listening to. Because in our text, Eve listened to a voice that led her to a look. And her issues began by listening to a voice. And then the voice directed her to pay attention to what her eyes were seeing. And the reason she tasted was because it appeared to be good to her. This world that you're living in of sight and sound is going to have devastating effects upon our society. And God forbid that it damage apostolic young people. More than just the hearing, the young people in this room are a part of the YouTube generation. Now, I don't know what you came expecting. I don't know if you was going to think I was going to get on the, somebody get on the organ, let's hoop and let's shout, and maybe we'll do that later, but I want to help you today. The YouTube generation started in 2005. YouTube was invented in 2005. It was purchased 16 months later. I wish I'd invented it because they paid $1.6 billion for it. By 2010, it was the third most, in 5 years, it was the third most visited website in the world. And today, 48 hours of video are uploaded every single minute. That's 8 years of video on YouTube are loaded every single day. And one leading sociologist said of its sixth birthday that YouTube has almost as many petitions as God. YouTube is now, for your generation, the place to see and be seen, where mass quantities of corporately produced material are launched and uploaded every day and every minute. Music videos, movie clips, TV clips, commercials and parodies, and on the list goes. And then it's not enough just to have YouTube general. We've got to have particular channels where people are hoping to be discovered. And so they put their bands on there, and they direct on there, and they put mini dramas together, and they do stupid things on there, and funny things, and sad things, and idiotic things, and harmful things, all hoping to catch somebody's attention. But I want you to remember something. It's all about profitability. It has become the instrument that technology uses to bring strangers together, not as family, not as friends. It is the structural imperative now. If your generation wants to be a celebrity, no longer do they move to Hollywood or Broadway in New York. The way to become a star now is YouTube. If you get enough hits, if you get enough likes, it is so becoming a part of us. I actually caught myself. How many IGers out there? Instagram folks are out there. Let me see all the Instagram people. Y'all know that double tap, you know, where you like a picture? That's so much a part of us now. I got Christmas cards. Y'all get Christmas cards and everybody's picture? Don't send me cards if it don't have pictures. I don't even read them. No, I'm just kidding. We like Christmas cards with pictures, you know, because we want to see, oh, she's gained a lot of weight this year. Their kids are really ugly. Y'all, don't act like y'all don't do that. And my wife just stacks them up on, you know, we got this little tray where all the Christmas cards and we stack them all up. And I come in and I look at the ones we got in for the day or the week. And I had them and I was like sitting down and I was just kind of flipping through them. And there was one that I liked, and without even thinking, I reached up and double tapped it. My wife said, "What did you just do?" I said, "Oh, I was just scratching the, just had something on." It's changing us. But it's not bringing us closer together. We're not coming together as family and friends. At its core, this YouTube world is really a quest for pleasure. It's not a quest for truth. Anybody ever read John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress? Your pastor made me read it when I was in high school. In his book, if you haven't read it, you need to. And if it's hard to read, just struggle through it. It'll make you a better person. It's a good book. But John Bunyan, he talks about a place called Vanity Fair, from which the magazine is named. Vanity Fair is this place, and here's the way he describes it. Vanity Place is where life's debaucheries are constantly on display. Quote, "There is at all times to be seen jugglings and cheats and games and plays and fools and apes and knaves and rogues and that of all sorts. Here are to be seen too, and that for nothing," he says, "thefts, murders, adulteries, false swears, and that of blood red color." Sounds like YouTube to me. Sounds like the internet to me. No wonder Pilgrim in John Bunyan's book cried after looking at Vanity Fair. He said, "Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Turn my eyes away from beholding vanity." This is a real deal, folks. This is your generation. I could come and I could preach about agape and loving God and loving one another. And I could talk about Jesus' name, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost. But you've evidently already got that down. Somebody got baptized tonight. And there's nights to do that. And there's times to do that. And it's important. And we need to be doing that. But I want to get where you are living as young people. Your generation is dealing with these issues. And I don't want you to just run blindly into a world that has the potential to destroy you and your family and your future potential. There's a media theorist by the name of Alexandre Duhas, and I quote, they said, "YouTube is really good for wasting time. It is our private postmodern TV of distraction masquerading as media democracy." He said, "We bring our channel surfing habits to the experience, allowing YouTube to do what television has been doing for 60 years, quote, expertly delivering the eyeballs to advertisers." Brother Young, what are you, surely you didn't come to youth conference to talk about YouTube. Yeah. Because here's the deal. We've all laughed at dad. You got to see this. "Charlie bit my finger." We've all done it. It's just a common vernacular. Have you seen this clip? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about? It's now a part of your world. It's a part of my world. We've all used it for pleasure. We've all used it for school. We use it for research. We've all gone and watched this speech, and we've all gone and seen this presentation. We've all gone and watched the how-tos and how to make widgets out of gadgets. I love the how-to stuff. Did anybody besides me watch the how to fold a t-shirt in 5 seconds? That one is like killer. And I like practice. And my favorite thing is to walk in with one of those how-to-dos and I go, "Babe, watch this." She goes, "Not another one." It's cool. You can learn how to lay brick on YouTube. You can learn how to put a gate together on YouTube. You can learn how to train your dog on YouTube. It's all there. It's all about attention economy. Don't forget this. YouTube is about capturing your attention. That's why when you watch the end of that how-to video on how to lay brick, there's a done button, and when you click on the done button or it finishes, there's 15 other videos that are related to that subject or something else. Because they're wanting you to watch one more and one more and one more. And before you know it, you turn around and you've been on there for an hour and a half. And it's 2 hours, and yet it's hard to pray 15 minutes before church. YouTube wants you as long as it can have you. Whole lines of what to watch next, an endless chain of immediate but forgettable gratification that can only be satisfied with another video. And that's the good stuff. Then there's all the junk, where massive amounts of people are behaving badly. Brutality, sexualized children, addictions, mass quantities of stupidity. Your generation better be careful. In my state, there are 2 boys awaiting sentencing because of sexting on their phones. A girl sent a picture of her chest unclothed. She was 14 years old in the locker room. The boys are looking. The coach comes through and says, "What are you looking at?" Picks the phone up. Before it's over, those boys are going to jail for child pornography. It's not a laughing matter. Your eyes can take you to places that you cannot imagine they could take you. I'm hoping that I can awaken. I'm preaching to my young people. I'm trying to get my youth pastor, youth leaders, working with our young people. You've got to be careful. This is a jungle out there, and there are predators that want to destroy your life and your spirit. And before you know it, you could wind up in trouble in places that you never imagined you could wind up. What happened to decency in our world? You know, it's amazing to me that stuff I deal with in the youth group, and sometimes not so youth group anymore, there's a part of me that wonders, this is an old-fashioned word, but what happened to moral repugnancy? What happened to Christian young men that would go, "Oh, I don't do that"? What happened to young ladies that said, "No way, I don't go there"? God, awaken up a youth group that knows more than just how to bounce and praise. Awaken a youth group that knows how to say, "I will keep mine eye from that evil thing. I will look away from those things. I will not partake." Your generation is an eye generation. You've got to guard your eye. Should a Christian really find pleasure or entertainment in such? We may need a trip to the altar if we can take pleasure in tragedy or misery or evil. It has almost become a norm. We've been so dumbed down. We have been so jaded without even realizing it that we can look at things on news clips and then talk about it with other people. Did you see so-and-so who got his head cut off in Iraq? And there's a part of me that says, why would I even want to see that? How does a Christian get to the point where we can look at such evil and such ugliness as if it's entertaining? Young people, this is the world you live in. The early Christians were faced with similar decisions. Would they go to the gladiator games? Wasn't like your stadiums and arenas, it was free. In fact, it's part of the reason Rome was destroyed. Came about getting elected had to do with how many toys and gifts you could give the people and the citizens. Offer them free food, offer them free games and entertainment and all of the above. And literally, emperors bankrupted the government so that they could give to people to buy votes. That's kind of where we're headed. But in those early days of the games and the spoils of battles fought for freedom and gladiators fighting, and which ultimately led to Christians being destroyed by lions. And historically, it's proven that the Christians made choices. There was no manual from UPCI headquarters. There was no letter and affirmation statement from Tulsa. There was just decisions that were made by early Christians that there's some things that we don't look at. What we watch, attend to, and enjoy shapes how we think and feel. And we can run a con game on ourselves. where we watch entertainment and subconsciously enjoy what we're consciously rejecting. Did that make sense? We subconsciously tell ourselves, we reject this. That's what we're telling ourselves, but we're shaping our mind to accept what at first seems so repulsive. They did a study. This will get a little more spiritual in a minute, but they did a study with a program called the Jerry Springer Show, which is nutcase from the word go. And on this study, they took people and they took these participants, they put them in a room, and they took different scenes evidently from the Jerry Springer Show that had to do with promiscuous women. And the participants that were in this program, listen closely, their ability to accurately recognize a situation of sexual harassment was measurably diminished. In other words, the moral perception of the participants was weakened by the observation of watching a degrading spectacle. So they showed them these promiscuous women acting and talking and conversing about these promiscuous activities. As they watched these repeatedly in this testing, then they presented situations of sexual harassment. And their ability to judge sexual harassment was weakened to the point that often they did not even recognize that it was happening because they had jaded themselves by watching promiscuity. You know, the Bible warns that you are not only not to partake of some things, but you are not to have pleasure in them that do such things. What am I preaching tonight? What does all this have to do? Doesn't sound like much preaching, does it? More sounds like a sociologist class. What am I saying tonight? What am I trying to do? We have to learn to look away. We have to learn to look away. As a child of God, I'm saying again, we need to learn to look away. Abraham Lincoln, the struggles of the Civil War coming to an end, the ugliness, the pain, the death, the division of a nation, all of the atrocities, issues that our nation went through. Upon the surrender of Robert E. Lee, Abraham Lincoln had the band to play and sing. Does anybody remember what they sang? I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixieland, where I was born early on one frosty morn, look away, look away. Somehow Abraham Lincoln knew, as a nation, this has been the ugliest battle and the ugliest scene our nation has ever endured. And we're going to have to learn to take our eyes off of the ugliness and look away. I've thought about that as I was preparing to preach this to my church. And if a president knew, we're going to have to learn to look away. There is so much ugliness. There is so much immorality. There is so much promiscuity. There is so much perversion. I read today on a news website that Hollywood is releasing a new movie that is celebrating incest. Your generation is going to view entertainment that in my generation you went to jail for. And we cannot move forward. I'm not preaching to my mom and dad today. I'm not preaching even to my, I'm preaching to your generation. Your world is going to get uglier than you can even imagine. Your children, I'm even scared to think about how crazy your kids' world is going to be. And if you have not developed the talent as a godly man or woman to look away, what are you going to allow in your home? What are you going to allow on your iPad? What are you going to allow? And what's your children going to see that you allowed in your home? But you can't wait until your baby's five to make a decision. You've got to form some convictions right now at 17 and 15 and 19 and 20. You've got to prepare yourself for the war that is to come. Your world's getting crazier every single day. You've got to get more radical than you've ever been. I'm not talking about rules. I don't have enough. What do you call those filters? They're making new ways to sin every day. You may be seated. Your pastor can't come in with a new program every Sunday because before he even gets home from church, somebody's invented some new way to sin. We can't keep up. It doesn't matter what Dr. Dobson promotes. It doesn't matter what new safeguards are on your unsubscribe list and parents and all of that. Let me tell you something. The world's getting so ugly, so fast, that the only way you're going to survive is if somewhere you and God get alone and you let Him form Himself in you and change you to the point that you say, I won't look on those things. I will not partake of those things. I will learn to look away. Seems like God just keeps trying to find ways for us to backslide. Brother Bert, you remember that message? Brother Wilson preached a long time ago at our church. He said, God's trying to make you backslide. Boy, it shocked all of us. He read from the text that said, heresies must come. And he said, so as a pastor, I built these walls. We don't go to movies. Boy, that felt good. We raised our little families in the no movie world. And then we said, no, they're bringing Hollywood in the home. Let's don't have TV. So he said, I built another fence. And then God just showed up and knocked that fence down with video. I said, oh God, you're trying to make my people backslide. So he said, well, no VHS. Let's don't have any movies in the house. And let's don't have. He's in God laughs and goes, sorry, heresies must come. And he said, and then before I knew it, the internet. So we said, no, we got to put filters on it. God said, sorry. Put it on your phone now. I was in a place the other day. Now they got watches that do everything your phone will do on your watch. When I was a kid, that was Dick Tracy science fiction. And you're laughing that it's science fiction. We laugh because we thought it was science fiction, and you're laughing because we thought it was science fiction. And now they're putting it on glasses. And now they're putting in earpieces. It's going to get weirder. It's going to get so crazy, it's going to blow our minds. Your grandma and grandpa, if they walked into your world 10 years from now, they would think they landed on Mars. Come to California, you actually think that already. But what scares me is the world has gone crazy, radical about everything. Causes, everything from save the well to save the spotted owl to kill the baby. Causes over the most crazy things. But I'm watching apostolic young people in the midst of a crazy, caused out, radical world. I'm watching Pentecostal kids withering up, becoming intimidated, and just accepting life. It's time for a bold generation. It's time for some apostolic young people to rise up and be as radical as they are. While they're marching for the homosexual agenda, what are you marching for? They're marching to throw out morality. Why don't we start marching to bring in Holy Ghost? Why don't we start praying more? Why don't we start witnessing more? Why don't we start getting radical in prayer and devotion and commitment and unity? It's time for an apostolic generation to rise up like an army. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's an army rising up to break every chain. Break every chain. Keep standing, musicians, come. I want to do that song, if you know it, Break Every Chain. What happened to kingdom thinking? I'm not fussing at you. It's too late. You're already in it. We can't go back and undo computers. We're not getting rid of phones. Read recently, Google Glasses, just when you can afford it, they already got something new. It's going in contact lenses. A contact lens. I saw a video the other day it's the lens. You put it in and it will do everything that your computer screen will do. So, think about this. The preacher's up preaching. And you're in church. And you've gotten good at this partial attention thing. You've learned how to wave your hand and say amen while you got your contact lenses on and you're watching whatever. You're laughing, but it's coming. You know how I know? Because you're texting in church. I mean, we're headed there. Brother Young, are you against technology? No. I wish some of y'all would invent something and pay some tithes. But the point is, evidently God had enough faith that you could make it. But you're only going to make it if you make up your mind to make it. Your generation's got a lot of people they follow. Stars are made on the internet. Sports heroes, music heroes. Where's some radical devotion? They actually did. Someone showed me a picture of what happened, I think it was last year's Super Bowl. Maybe the year before. And there was a picture taken at a particular important, game-changing play that was like, either won the game or turned the tide of the game or whatever it was at the Super Bowl. And the picture was taken above the audience of a particular section that was right on the yard line of where the play took place. And I saw this picture. And there were so many people. All their heads are down. They're sending pictures, Instagram, Facebook. I'm at the Super Bowl. They're so much wanting to tell everybody out there about what they're experiencing that they didn't experience. They missed the game changing play of the game because they're trying to impress a bunch of people they don't know. How many likes do you have? I was with some of my young people at the hospital. There was a young lady in our church that was in the hospital, and I went up to visit, and there was like 10 young people there to see her. And I posted a picture. I took a picture, and so they all took the picture, and we kind of had the same picture. And it was instantly a contest. It was like, who's going to get the most likes? 1, 2, 3, go. And I won. But there's people that get depressed because they didn't get enough people to like them on Instagram. And then we unlike them. Or, I have a girl in my church. This is the truth. She has over 200,000 followers. I said, how in the world did you get 200,000 followers? She said, well, I had like 3 days off. She said, so I just started liking everybody. She said, they'd follow me and then I'd unlike them. So she don't follow any of them, but they all follow her. It worked though, because now she just got hired by the Sacramento tourist deal. And so they're like in 2 weeks, she's already got 4,000 followers for Sacramento, visit Sacramento, whatever. I don't know what it is, but this is a different world than I grew up in. I mean, people are making a living by being a blogger. I grew up, we had loggers. Y'all got bloggers. Where's your attention going? I'm not talking about at church, because my young people know how to praise at church. I'm talking about when we leave church. I was with my father-in-law and his best friend from Bible college, and we were driving down the road one day, and they were talking, I was just kind of listening. And he looked at my father-in-law, his name's Ron Walls, and he said, Nate, that's what he called my father-in-law. He said, Nate, I'm convinced that young people today don't have the same Holy Ghost that we got. My father-in-law said, why do you say that, Ronnie? He said, because when we got the Holy Ghost, we went and prayed. And we went and read our Bible. And we cut off some friends. And we walked away from stuff and walked away from some things. And He said, I'm watching young people in my church. He was a pastor at the time. He said, I watch them pray through on Sunday night, but then they just go right back to the same stuff. I thought about that. I know what he was saying. I think we get the same Holy Ghost, because there's only one Holy Ghost. But I think the difference is what we do after we get the Holy Ghost. I read about Garland and Eleanor Leonard. Anybody ever heard of them? Probably not. You won't find them on YouTube. you may find a little bit about them. I had Brother Jeremy was with me today. I had Brother Jeremy Wilbanks look up another couple, Dan and Alice Sheets. Anybody remember the Sheets family? No, probably not. They were young people. They got the Holy Ghost back in the early days, not long after the Azusa revival and after the Elton, Louisiana revival, where Jesus named baptism. They were just young people, newly married. Garland and Eleanor Leonard decided, you know what? The world needs what we've got. And they went to China. And while they were there, Japan invaded China in 1937. And the Japanese army shot and killed Brother Garland Leonard. But the Holy Ghost that Eleanor had was so strong, Amber. You know what she did? She stayed. But I can't even get young people to stay prayed through on Thursday. And all they got to deal with is a YouTube clip. I'm comparing a generation that got the Holy Ghost and fell in love with Jesus so much they wanted the world to know about it. And while they watch the enemy shoot their husband, something in them says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to preach this gospel. But what about Dan and Alice Sheets? They were missionaries at the same time, also to China. The Japanese army took Alice 1941, put her in prison. An apostolic Pentecostal young lady. She was in prison from 1941 to 1943. But she never quit preaching. She never quit believing God could save the Japanese people and the Chinese people. The very people that imprisoned her, she preached to them. And every once in a while, I just get to thinking, I'm going to stand in judgment next to Eleanor Leonard and Alice Sheets. And I'm going to go, I couldn't control this. While the heavenly video is playing back, her watching her husband killed. But she says, yet I will trust you. We're going to stand in judgment beside Dr. Stephen Benda, my friend in Liberia, who during the Civil War a few years ago, after his mother and father were shot and killed by the rebel forces, after his brother running away, dove off the cliff into the river, trying to get away, they stood on the bank and shot him in cold blood. And then captured Brother Benda, the pastor, and stripped the pastor naked before the firing squad. God, I just couldn't handle my phone. Really? That cute girl's just too much? You're going to stand beside Brother Benda and Eleanor Leonard and the Sheets family. They were young people too. And it could be that all you've got to do is look away. Can the Holy Ghost stir up anything in you tonight? Could we commit ourselves? Maybe he's calling you to China or Uganda or Honduras or Guatemala. Maybe, but maybe he's not. Maybe he's calling you to Homewood or Birmingham or Leeds. Whatever the other communities around here are. I don't think he's really calling you to die for him like Brother Sheets. Maybe he's just calling you to live for him. Is there an army rising up? Maybe Sunday home church will shout and dance and when we preach, but right now I just feel that there's a challenge. Could there be an army of dedicated young men and women that will say, you know, I can do this. I can be used of God. I can be a part of the army of Christ. I can be the soldier in my community. I can stand for truth. I don't have to give in to this. If there's an army that's gone before me, I can be a part of an army for this generation. God evidently believed I could do it. He could empower me to do it. Come on. I want you to make a personal commitment tonight, young people. Come on, young men, lift your voice. Cry out to God. There's an anointing. When you make a commitment, God will come where you are. You take one step, He'll take two. If you begin to pour yourself out to Him, young ladies, come on, make up your mind. Make up your mind right now. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to break chains in the name of Jesus.
Break every chain.
Oh, break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. There is power. There is power. Christ. Come on. Is there a generation that arise up? You can break every chain. Oh, there's an army. There's an army rising up. Come on. Is there a young man in Birmingham tonight? Is there a young man from Coleman tonight? Is there a young man from Alabama that'll make a stand? I'm going to live for God. I'm going to live for God.
sustain you. God's going to give you grace. God's going to help you through whatever you're dealing with. Come on, young people, believe your God. Believe your God. Believe your God. I'm going to change. I'm going to get right. I'm going to live for God. I'm more than I can do it. I can do it. I can do it.
I hear those chains falling.
That's it. That's it, young man. You can make it. You can make it.
I hear those chains falling.
Oh, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I hear those chains falling.
Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you.